It's, oh yeah, now I'm on. Now I feel like I can sing. But I want to say a special thank you to Pastor D. You know, it's not an easy thing. It's a sacred trust when a pastor allows you to share from his pulpit or her pulpit. So I want to thank you for putting your trust in me and allowing me to share this pulpit today. And I also want to take a moment, as you heard, I'm the director of EMI, and we're a mission organization, and this church sponsors EMI, and I want to say thank you for helping us. What we do is we plant churches throughout the world, specifically for LGBT people and their friends and their families. And we believe that by creating places overseas, particularly in countries where the gospel is not preached at all, that we are able to bring a place, a church, where people can come to believe, where they can come to belong, and where they can achieve the dreams that God has given them. And I just want to tell you briefly, we have three churches in Taiwan, one in Mexico and one in Australia. And I just want to share, we just got back from Mexico. So I'm sharing you this girl's life because this is what you have done. Because of you, you've touched this girl's life. And her name is Marcela. And she's a young, beautiful Mexican girl. She's got that long, beautiful, flowing hair that women of my age are completely envious of. And but anyway, her story is this. Very brief. I'll just say that when she came out to her family, her father and her mother, particularly her father, was horrified. And so he locked her in her room and basically took away cell phone, computers, everything, and forbade her from going outside. And he sought to put her in a convent. It was a particular convent where they're not are allowed no freedom. So anyway, long story short, she managed to escape from the house. She went to another city. Lived there for 6 months. One day she's walking down the street. Two men throw a bag over her head, kidnap her, bring her back to her father. And then her father proceeds to try and get her basically incarcerated into this convent. But unfortunately, the laws, I mean, fortunately for her, the laws in Mexico had just been passed that you cannot do that against, once you're a certain age, you can't do that against someone's consent. So once again, she was able to escape from her father. And this time she went to Mexico City. And that's where you have helped us to plant a church. And she found that church. She gave her heart to the Lord. And now she is truly free with now a family of choice. So I know, yeah. But I tell you that because I know if she stood in front of you here, she'd want to say, thank you. Thank you for making that happen. So anyway, I want to share with you today. And I just start by saying, if I were to ask you, why church? Why church? I think there's a lot of you would say, well, in this church, I have found a place to belong. I've found a family that cares about me. And in fact, I've even found friends that I can hang out with. And some of you would say that here in Sacred Light, that you actually have received physical healing, while others of you might say, I've received emotional healing. You know, and almost all of you, I think, would say that here at Sacred Light, that you have found meaning and a new direction for your life. And you know, all of these things are absolutely true. They're absolutely wonderful, and they should absolutely be enjoyed. But these are the benefits of being part of a church family. But really, what I want to share with you today is that along with these benefits, we have some responsibilities. And so today I want to share with you about these responsibilities by really reminding you why the church exists in the first place. And so to do that, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. I think I told you I was technologically challenged in such a little thing.
This is my fault. I forgot to put this in.
Oh. Okay. We'll give her a second, then we can get the scriptures up. So how's everybody doing today? Really? I'll start with my karaoke. Feelings. Are we good? Yay. Oh, I keep pointing there, but I think I'm supposed to point over there. Okay, so we want to look at why the church exists, and what I want to share with you is what the Bible has to say. In Mark chapter 16:15, now this is happening just as Jesus is leaving the earth, and so he's talking to his disciples who are about to birth churches nationwide. And he says this, he gave them final instructions, and he said, he told them to go into all the world and share the good news to everyone. Okay, then in Matthew 28, you go ahead, he's just agreeing with me, you know. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus expands that, and he says, go out and train everybody you meet, far and near, in this way of life. So really, what these scriptures are saying, what Jesus is making clear to the very young church, is that we have two responsibilities, and that is to introduce people to Christ and then to train them in the beautiful life that we get to live. So let's look at what these responsibilities are. First one is that we are to grow in numbers by introducing people to Christ. The second thing we want to do is we want to grow in maturity by living out the Bible. So simply put, churches exist to grow. Churches are, they're not an organization, they're a living organism. Churches are a living, growing, breathing organism. And you know, all things living grow. If we're not growing, we're either dying or we're already dead. Amen. Yeah, so our responsibilities then are to grow in numbers by sharing Christ with others. And then we're to grow in maturity by living out the Bible. So now, believe it or not, there are actually some people that have arguments against growing in numbers. Some people don't actually want the church to grow. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And one of the arguments that they say is that God is not interested in numbers, right? But you know what? That is simply not true. For one thing, God has an entire book in the Bible called Numbers, right? And there are numbers all over the Bible. Jesus sent out 12 disciples. They fed the 5,000. He sent out 70 missionaries. You know, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church. So God is very interested in numbers. And we count people because people count. People matter. Now, it's really funny. I have a really good friend, and her little nephew is 8 years old, and he went on his very first class school trip, and it involved an airplane flight. So my question is, do you think that teacher counted those kids as they got back on the airplane? Yes. You know she did. She did not want to face the mother and say, gosh, I'm so frightfully sorry, but it appears that we have misplaced your daughter, right? We count because we care. And numbers tell us very important information. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, your cholesterol number is really high, that's a pretty important number because it tells you that where your health is, right? The second thing is, I can tell, I'll bet you every single one of you know exactly how much money you've got in the bank, right? Because you counted. We count because we care. And you know, I don't know if you remember the scripture, the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. He told the story of the Good Shepherd, right? And the story of the Good Shepherd goes that the shepherd left the 99 to go look for the one, right? My question is, how did he know that one was missing? Because he counted. We count because we care. Numbers matter to God for this very simple reason. Every single number has a name. And every name has hopes and dreams. And God cares that these names become part of his family. So we count because we care. The second argument is that people often say that we should focus on quality, not on quantity, right? And that is true if by quality we're talking about our spiritual maturity. Of course, we have to develop quality Christian lives, and we do that by becoming spiritually mature. And so, but the thing is that it's not an argument against growing, right? You know, in fact, I quite often find that when people give that argument, they themselves are not exactly focusing on the quality of their own life, right? But the point is this, it is not one or the other, but instead that one produces the other. If you have quality, quality produces quantity. For the simple reason, if a church is spiritually growing in maturity, it will also be growing in numbers. And there's a simple reason for that. Think about it. People who are spiritually mature and healthy, they attract people to them. People who are immature and unhealthy repel people from them. So yes, we have to become spiritually mature, but it's not at, it means, and we also have to share the Lord with others. So let's look at a couple of arguments for growth. And the first one is that God's word demands it. God's word encourages us, and God's love commands it. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "You will be my witnesses, telling everyone everywhere about me." You know, witness is just tell what you've seen, tell what you experience. But all through the Bible, the Lord is encouraging us to do this. In Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, Acts 1, and Jesus' entire life was about introducing others to the Lord. And you know, so we can't actually say that we love God and then we don't do what he asks, right? But, you know, some people say it's hard. It's really hard telling people about God. And I just want to say, I'm just going to point to this little thing called the cross, you know? And I got to tell you, kind of, sort of, Jesus did the hard part, you know? Jesus did the hard part. Just look at the extraordinary level that Christ went to buy forgiveness for you and I. Hanging on the cross for hours in absolute agony, trust me, that was the hard part. But he did that so that everyone, that everybody's screw-ups could be forgiven. Yes. My screw-ups, your screw-ups. But he did it for everyone. He did it for your families. He did it for your friends. He did it for your coworkers. Why would we keep this to ourselves? This isn't a secret to keep. It's a love that we have to give, right? So, and if you look at John 3:16, I know that if you're a Christian here, you know this off by heart. It says, "God so loved the world," right? Now, it could have said, "God loves the world," but it didn't. It emphasizes the intensity of God's love for us. In other words, it's saying to you, God so, 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 so loved the world that he went to the cross. But my question is, do we love the world? The second reason for growth is that people's needs demand it. There are people outside of these walls that want what you have. There are needs outside of these walls that are crying out to be met, and we can meet them. We can meet them. Did you know that just last year they did a study, a newspaper, the USA Today, did a survey, and they found that 25% of Americans said that they had no close friends. Can you believe that? That is one quarter of our country describes itself as lonely without a friend. The greatest need in this world, people long for a place to belong. And we have that. We can offer that. And you know, I find it amazing because you think in this book, in this era of Facebook, how can anybody be lonely? You know, but then it struck me that just by posting a picture of my dinner doesn't mean that I'm connecting on Facebook, you know? So there are many people outside of these walls. They could be your friends, they could be your family, they could be your coworkers, and they have real needs that you and I can meet and that we should meet. And I want to share a story. There's a young girl in Taiwan, and again, this is part of your fruit. She's in her early 30s, just young, cute, adorable. And she found out just recently that she has very life-threatening cancer. So she's been going through the treatment. And her name is Emily, and I think I have a picture here. There's Emily. I love this picture of her laughing wholeheartedly. She used to have long, long hair, and now, of course, she's with the chemo, she's lost a lot of it. But Emily was a non-Christian. She was a Buddhist. She was brought up in Taiwan. She brought up under the Buddhist, actually, Taoism. She was brought up as a Taoist. And, of course, then she found this wonderful news about God, and she accepted the Lord, and she came to the church that you helped us to start in Taiwan. But she found out she had cancer, and it's life-threatening. So she's been going through treatments. Now, the next phase of her treatment, her insurance wouldn't cover all of it. And the part that was missing came to about $800 American, and she had to do 8 treatments. So she was short, 10 treatments. And so she was short 10 times $800. That's a lot of money. And that was a lot. There's no way her family had that. I want to tell you what her friends did in church. Her close friends in church came to her and said, Emily, you go for this treatment. And you know what? You don't even think about the money. We are taking that from you. That is going to be our problem. We are going to find the money. You are going to go and get healed. And you know what? What happened was her friends, like one of her friends, just pulled out of her savings and paid for one treatment, right? Then small groups got together. They paid for one treatment. Then the church, one of our churches in the south, one of our churches in the north got together. They paid for a treatment. Sandy and I personally paid for a treatment. Our church in Long Beach paid for a treatment. Friends of ours throughout the U.S. paid for a treatment. And we ended up, within about 3 weeks, she had 8 treatments fully paid for. Incredible. People have needs that we can meet. And my question is, what if we had never started that church? What if Emily had never come to know the Lord? These are the things that the Lord wants to meet. And so I would even say to you, look around you in this church and ask yourself, 5 years ago, there are people now that you call friends that 5 years ago, you didn't know them from Adam, right? So there are some best friends out there in the world that you have yet to discover. They are going to be your best buddies. But anyway, we grow in numbers because God has asked it of us. And we grow in numbers because the needs of the people demand it of us. And you know, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Okay? Life produces life. So I've told you the arguments for and against. Now I just want to give you two simple things. So how do we actually share our faith? How do we introduce people to Christ? And how do we grow in spiritual maturity? Just two simple things. First, tell your story. If you want to introduce people to Christ, just chit-chat. Tell people your story, but tell people about your recent experiences with Christ. Maybe you want to tell them about an inspiration. Tell your friends about an inspiration that God gave you, an idea that God gave you that you were able to introduce in your workplace. You can talk about the way that God has provided for you recently, the way that the Lord has healed you recently. You can talk about how God has made you laugh recently. These are the things that we can share. But a lot of people say, I don't know how to talk to people because I don't know my Bible. You know, I'm afraid to talk about Jesus because I don't know enough about the Bible. But you know, the thing is, God doesn't really ask you to talk about what you know about the Bible. What he asks you to do is talk about the experiences you've had from the Bible, right? It's not about talking about the Bible. It's talking about your personal experiences that you've had that are coming out of the Bible. And put it in your own words, right? Because here's the truth of the matter. People can argue about your theology. You know, you can talk all the theology you want, but people can argue with you about it. They can even argue with you about your biblical interpretation. But you know what they can't argue about? They cannot argue your personal story. Your story. Your story. They cannot argue against your story. You know, Acts 4:33, it says, the church added to their numbers daily, right? Can you imagine Sacred Light of Christ, people coming Christian daily, right? First of all, you'd probably have to move or you go to, the, no, you don't move because it's a beautiful building. You would have to move to, you would have to have 3, 4, 5 different services, right? But people were added to the church daily. But my question is, do you think they did that because they were quoting scripture? Well, you know, John, I want to tell you that in James chapter 3, verse 4. No, they did that because they were telling their story, their experiences with their neighbors, with their friends, and with their families. And the numbers were added daily. And I want to tell you this amazing little scripture verse. I think this is an absolute gem. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says this, they overcame the enemy by the power of their story. Your story will crush every argument that the enemy and friends would bring against you. So that brings me to the second point. Does that mean that I don't need to know my Bible? Yes, we do, because we have to become a living Bible. You know, some people think that spiritual maturity is about how much of the Bible they know, but that's a myth, because in fact, spiritual maturity is measured by how much of the Bible you live. You know, I can tell how much of the Bible you believe by how you behave. Because maturity is both believing and behavior. It is belief and behavior. For example, we had this a wonderful teacher that came in to our church in Long Beach Glory Center and came in and did a weekend seminar with us. Very good. A lot of people really enjoyed it. And at the end, quite a few people stood up to just share what this seminar had meant to them. And I remember this young girl getting up and sharing how this had really turned her around. And now she felt she had the tools to really cope with life. Not more than 2 weeks later, she was put to the test. Suddenly now what she had learned, she had the opportunity to now apply it to her life. And did she? No. She decided to make a little trip around that same mountain. You know, I don't know what it is about why we keep going around the same mountain again and again and again. So sometimes our behavior cancels the things that we say we believe. Yeah. Maturity is belief and its behavior. And there's a very, very famous Catholic priest. I'm pretty sure most of you know about him. 900 years ago, he lived. He had a big mission to Muslims back in, I think, 1100s. And his name was Francis of Assisi. And he said this. He said, tell people about Christ. Use words if you have to. In other words, living out our Bible, living out the truths of the Bible are more powerful sometimes than the words that we say. So I want to leave you with homework, because this talk would do you no good unless I gave you some things to take home, right? You can tell the teacher in me. And really what I want you to do, what I want to challenge you to do, is that over the next couple of weeks, that you would take some time to yourself and you would think about your story. Ask yourself this: why Christ? Why Christ? Ask yourself that. Start from that. Why am I a Christian? And write four paragraphs. Hear me well. Write no more than four paragraphs. And then read it. Then edit it. Then look for powerful words that explain your emotion. And then learn it off by heart, right? And then come. So take 2 weeks to do that. And then 2 weeks after that, come to church and start sharing your story with each other. Get good at telling your story. Four paragraphs. Powerful, emotional, inspirational, and it will sound like, and you will be amazed how many openings you have in your life for that to just trip out of your mouth. And because you're prepared, you'll have something powerful to touch someone's life with. So that's your homework. And I'm going to have secret people here in the church that are going to challenge you to that. The second thing I want to challenge you with is, if you're not already reading the Bible daily, I want to ask you over Monday through Friday, okay? You get Saturday, I saw that. You get Saturday and Sunday off, okay? He bopped him in the head. You get Saturday and Sunday off, but Monday through Friday, I want you to start reading at least half a chapter of the Bible. And read it in the Message version or the Living version, right? Monday through Friday, if you don't already have a regular time that you're doing it, just half a chapter. That's not a lot. But once you read it, try and put it in your own words. Think about it, how it applies to your life. Think if there's a truth there for you to learn, if there's a promise that you can take hold of, if there's a change of behavior that you could apply to your life. So just half a chapter every day. Is that a challenge you guys would be taking on?
Yes.
Homework?
Yes.
You can tell I'm a teacher, can't you? Well, again, I want to thank you for allowing me to share with you today. And I just want to tell you that there's a world out there that is dying to hear your story.
Yes.
Okay? So let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we just want to thank you. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross, that you died for us. Lord, that you have come and you've given us the most amazing life that we can live. Lord, that you've healed us, you've restored us. Lord, that you've provided for us, you inspire us. Lord, there is so much that you pour into our lives. And Lord, we want to pay that forward. We want to pay it forward to Salt Lake City. We want to pay it forward out beyond these doors. And so I ask, Lord, that we would be constantly reminded of the hundreds of stories that you are putting into our lives. All these experiences that we are having with you. Help us, Lord, to open our mouths and to just share those experiences. And I ask, Lord, as we read your word, that you would grow us up, that more and more we would become to reflect you in our lives. And we ask it, Lord, so that men and women that are outside these walls would begin to know the love that you have for them. And we ask it, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you.